Hello and welcome to the Odds On podcast. My name is Davey Riley. Andrew Stanley isn't here. Ryan Cullen still is.
Yeah.
Andrew's somewhere. I don't know. England on a plane. He didn't show up. Anyway.
You know what happened to him? He was caught wanking in a hotel.
I heard.
Isn't that what he, that's what they tried to put on me last week. So that's what happened to him.
You tried to put it on a cleaner though. So instead of Andrew, we've got a guest. We've got the man who can count Johnny Giles as somebody he sat next to one time. Ladies and gentlemen, it's John Hosier Byrne.
How's it going? How you doing, lads?
So
thank you for having me.
No problem at all.
I saw Steve Staunton in a Tesco once.
Very good.
Working.
Does that work? Yeah, working.
Poor Steve's bankrupt now.
Stacking DVDs of like 1980s greatest goals for Ireland.
So, John, this is your first time on a podcast.
Yeah.
We have co-hosted about 150 podcasts together.
I would say minimum, yeah. I'm very sorry for anyone who got into this podcast through the Stoneface Films podcast and now has to hear more of me. I apologize.
So you're aware that we just chat about the week's Premier League action and then we put some bets on towards
Absolutely.
The end.
I look forward to it.
Yeah. So you're not a gambling man, though.
No, I've gambled.
2 weeks later, I've lost the house.
I swear to God, I've gambled precisely one time.
When we were in Cannes.
When we were in Cannes. We went in because we were like in Cannes, you know, you go to a casino because.
Yes. All suited up.
Yeah. We were all suited and booted, like, so why not? Went into a casino, it was roulette on, and it was minimum €5 bet. So 10 euro, got my two chips. I went, "Hey, Davey, always bet on black, put it on black, red." I went, "Hey, Davey, always bet on black," went red again. I was like, "All right, well, that's me done gambling."
A Stargate SG-1
that's
slot
true,
machine.
That's true, actually. That's true. There
Which
was
an bizarre.
Stargate SG-1 slot machine with four little places to put your things. After, like, Colonel O'Neill, Captain Samantha, Teal'c, yeah. Daniel Jackson.
Dan Johnson.
I knew he said Daniel Bryan. But yeah, so I put it in, first bet, and won like €13.
Oh,
and I was like, hey.
That's usually how it starts.
And then I immediately pissed that away in the roulette wheel. So
now we've got you back on the horse.
This is it, Jim.
Did you see the video there of the guys in the casino in, I think it was Australia, where there was like a group of lads and they were hammered.
I think you're talking about Jamie Vardy here.
Next time, get them Japanese. He built up. They were like drunk, but they put $100,000 on one number, like, and they didn't look like they were really rich, but they were just cheering.
Wow.
They must have won a fortune, and then they just put it all on one number. So they were so drunk they built it into a big tower just up on the number.
Wow.
And they were like, and then they got their number rolls, and you just see everyone going psycho. They won $3.6 million.
Fuck, that's incredible.
Imagine that. I don't know. There looked like there was about 20 in them.
So on that note, though, you won your bet this week.
Yeah, it wasn't 3.6 million. It was €80. But
wow, congratulations.
But I won ours.
Yeah.
But I won. So that is the table now. We got it. Arsenal scored both halves. The first half wasn't looking great there. And then we got the draw in the match.
So where are we now?
So you're on €25.
Yep.
I'm on €105.
Yeah.
So €25, I'm on €105. And Andrew is on €240.
Wow.
So
hold on, what was the bet you put on?
Arsenal to score in both halves against Swansea,
right.
And then a draw in the Man United match.
That's a good bet right there. Was that an accumulator?
Yeah, double, just a double.
Fair play, man.
It's a great day.
Good day for the Paris.
Is that now? This is like the Euros. It'll be all. It'll just spiral out of control. In the Euros, we didn't win a single bet in the group stage.
Wow.
And then as soon as it hit the knockouts, it was just flying in. Like the
fair play,
just Howard Hughes of
of
gambling.
Yeah,
that's
fantastic. Good for you, man. That's a good bet.
Right.
So I lost mine.
I didn't even think of yours ever.
Chadley to score anytime.
Chadley anytime was how it never had.
Defoe anytime that came through.
Yeah.
Over 3.5 in Leicester Chelsea. It was 3.
Yeah.
It's all right. It was a half goal off there.
Yeah.
And then United -1.
So basically, you won 1 out of 4, did you?
Defoe to score any time is a good thing you could probably add to any accumulator.
Yeah.
It's basically Sunderland to score.
Yeah, very true.
Same bet.
Sunderland / Defoe to score.
So this week, though, the big game, the big one, is Man City.
How did
Spurs.
You think about
United game?
Yeah.
So John is a Liverpool supporter.
You know, I'm a Liverpool boy. True and true.
Brilliant.
I think United.
You've taken Andrew's place then.
Yeah.
I
think John will treat this with more rationale and less shouting emotion than.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I think.
I think Lallana covered. We mentioned this on our own podcast earlier on. Lallana did well, took Carrick out of the game. Mm-hmm. Reminiscent of Jisung Park eliminating Andre Pirlo from the United AC game a few
Lallana
years ago.
Put his Mickey in Carrick's pocket.
Yeah,
just followed him around the pitch.
didn't give him an inch.
No, gave him all six.
The diamond made Liverpool quite narrow, but United's pressure sort of stifled that, allowed United to take full control of the wings. The problem was Valencia, as good as he is at charging down the pitch, the ball cannot put in a cross.
No.
Darmian, a left back who's right-footed, so the crosses aren't coming in there either.
He runs too quick.
Yeah.
Valencia runs too quick that he can't cross it. He's not like Gareth Bale who can hit a ball across
as
it
he's
at
running.
Full pace.
Yeah, yeah. He's just a rugby league player.
The fastest player in FIFA, supposedly, is Valencia. Like I'm not talking about the actual football game. I'm talking about the Football Association.
Yeah, down the corridors in Geneva.
No, apparently he recorded the highest speed of any professional player.
He's a fast man.
Against Liverpool last year, I think it was. That was the right way to play it as well, because they know we had Trent Alexander-Arnold playing a right back in place of
FIFA
Klein.
FIFA wouldn't let Matip play.
Yeah, that's a different job.
That's where presumably Clavin got the
game. Clavin
it was a terrible team.
It was not our strongest lineup.
Even Henderson wasn't fully fit. Coutinho was gone. Manny's gone. Sturridge didn't play. He's better than Origi,
I don't rate Daniel Sturridge. As a Liverpool through and through boy, Daniel Sturridge is. I saw someone tweeted, Daniel Sturridge is made of crisps, and like crisps, and Liverpool's title chances are like crisps, tasty and insubstantial. Which I quite enjoyed. But I think very true. I think Daniel Sturridge is the world's most selfish player.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
He's joyless. And there's so many opportunities where if he got on board with the type of, short passing possession football that Klopp likes to play, they could be a much, much better team. But he just doesn't. He just, rather than, there was a perfect example. He could have given it to, against Southampton, could have given it to Lallana, had a screamer in. Still, he's doing a 180-degree turn, trying to pop it off at the back heel. Just stupid stuff.
I don't like Coutinho for the reason that once he can see the goal, he'll have a pop. He'll occasionally score. Where Sturridge has nothing to be working off.
He's nothing to be going. He has no business shooting
from
outside the box. There's
no proof of concept behind his theory. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought they were, when I saw the lineups, it was the first time I was ever confident in Man United. I went, okay, they'll win this one.
Yeah. Then Pogba had...
And then they just started trying to play football, and I went, oh yeah, that's why. They were bad.
United weren't bad, but
they were dreadful.
I thought they were awful.
Really?
And most of it was purely just the kind of mindset around it. So many places that they could have, and that was a good United team out. I thought there were so many places they could have beat Liverpool there, and they kind of just. I know they did. It's hard to get in go, and Carrick and Pogba were doing nothing.
Yeah.
And Herrera did nothing. I'll give to him.
We'll get on to him.
But they were just. I don't know. It's you're at home, and he was talking just before the game about giving it. I don't know. They couldn't string three passes together.
The problem was the final pass. Grant, we get the final third of the pitch, and then.
But Liverpool's chances nearly all came from mistakes. I know they play that away a lot, but there was a lot of mistakes.
They play the pressing game. No, and I will say, because it's much easier for me, and I think on the other podcast I was just like, no, Liverpool won it because they were the best, because they're great, and obviously they didn't win. But to be fair, I there was a huge amount of time watching the match as a Liverpool fan where you're so grateful that their Manchester United were kicking the ball into the touchline with such frequency. You're like... There was a million times where you were like, oh, got away with that one. What I mean?
There was two good chances there. Because it was like United's best chances were only when two passes got together. Depends how far you got the two passes. There was like a break. They had two breaks where they were one-on-one. But apart from that, it came even... Rooney injected a little bit. But he went for sideward passes. And he gave them away as well. I don't know.
If you're looking for Wayne Rooney to
I know.
Pace and intensity.
I just thought, when he came on, I went, bet you he'll do well, because it's against Liverpool.
Yeah, that was definitely the logic was he's going to be up for it. He's going to
be up for
it. Put it up him.
Anthony Martial again. Mitch Town was grand. I don't think a lot of them got the ball enough.
It was the
final. Ibra was all right, I thought.
Yeah, but the problem was Ibra needed that final pass to him.
Paul Pogba.
Paul Pogba was a one-on-one of a man.
Like, he missed a one-on-one. I don't know what the whole stadium was covered in Paul Pogba hashtag Paul Pogba
and
emojis.
Emoji, yeah.
And he got a new haircut that was ridiculous. It looked like, you know,
PP
looked absolutely colours to Liverpool
awake. It looked like they were lining the pitch and he fell over and it drove over his head a little bit.
You know, sometimes you see a player head the ball and they get a bit of paint on their head for the game.
Yeah.
He came out of the tunnel like that.
And he missed a one on one. And he was playing well recently again.
He was playing so well the last 10 or so games.
And then he went
and shat the bed.
Like, properly shat the bed. Yeah. Missed a one on one.
That penalty, once he gave away the penalty.
I couldn't believe it.
Tried to break Henderson's neck.
Yeah, another.
Buckled for the game. Like, he was useless for the rest of the game.
He should genuinely get this. If there hasn't already, there should be a post-match analysis of the grabbing Henderson by the neck and throwing him to the ground. Yeah. Like, it was a bit ridiculous.
Did you see the free kick as well for Ibra? No one hit near post. Pogba on the wall was shut. You know how you're trying to shut the wall?
Yeah.
He used his two hands. He didn't use it. You know, he used to use people's shoulder. He went... I was just like, anybody sees that, that's also a blatant foul. Yeah. That would have taken away.
He was lucky enough to stay on the pitch a few times.
Yeah, it's funny.
But this is the difference. You look at how Klopp, now obviously I'm going to evangelize Klopp, but Klopp has a net spend of plus 6.8 million for his tenure so far, right? He's made money for the club in the time he's been there. Manchester United and his whole thing, you know, right back from when he was out of college and started teaching kids. Like, he was I think under 10s team, and the first thing he was asked, like, was, oh, do you want to keep the same team that was last year, or do you want a whole new team? And, you know, from when he was teaching under 10s, he was like, we'll keep the same team, we'll develop them. Like, that's the mentality going forward. You look at the difference between that and buying a 100 million player in Pogba. They're looking to spend crazy money on someone else as well at the moment, aren't they?
Probably.
They're going to have to. That's the worst thing.
Yeah.
But, like, that's you know, that's the fundamentally juxtaposed mentality.
I wouldn't even blame Liverpool. That on the manager, because I don't think, like, you're talking about that. I just don't think there's anybody to develop Man United. Who can you develop at Man United?
Marcus Rashford.
Yeah, Rashford, Martial.
Did a good job with who's playing at right back again? Valencia?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a right winger, and they're making him a right back.
Yeah.
He
was a sort of established Premier League player before United signed him. I'm trying to work out what United's net spend is now, because it can't be good.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's all over the place. I think it was a fair result, in fairness, you know?
Yeah.
It was a fair result. I wouldn't have even been angry.
Like, I think, and you know, I'm more than happy to be like, fucking Liverpool, best team in the world.
Yeah.
But I do think we, you know, with even 24 hours of hindsight on it, feel like we did all right to come away with the L point from that.
Like, because they hadn't two one-on-ones, is it?
It also just felt like Liverpool needed the win here to not only to stay second in the table, but to defend their position in the top four. Defend their position as title challengers, they needed to put in that win there. And like when Ibrahimovic scored, like it did feel like, oh, what? That's the year done. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't think either team really deserved to win it though.
Mm-hmm. No,
I was hardly a screamer.
Yeah,
it was a good header from Ibrahimovic with the last touch. Like, but it was
as you said earlier, it was a bit pinball-y to get it there.
It was pinball wizard.
The important thing, not the important thing, but it's something not to gloss over. Just City shit in the bed.
Oh,
massively.
Brilliant.
I love it.
Gold, man. That was a great day for me yesterday. Tom Davis's goal, did you see it yet?
I haven't looked.
It was lovely. Match of the day.
Yeah, he was running up. He did that thing, you know, where two people came to close him down. He kind of back-heeled it in between the two of them. You know that kind of move?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then he ran on, played a 1-2, and then when Bravo came out, he chipped the keeper. It's great.
And lovely from, what's his name?
Lukman?
Is it Lukman? Is that how it's pronounced? Yeah, I was calling him Lukman. but yeah, no, totally. The lovely for an 18-year-old lad to...
Yeah. Do you know what I find really interesting about that? When Lukman went to get subbed on, as soon as he was getting subbed on, I thought Lukaku was being subbed off because Lukaku sprinted over to him, right? But it was Gareth Barry or something. But Lukaku just started whispering into his ear loads of stuff, and the guy's like, okay. And straight away, the ball came, and, you know, Stones, of course, being the superstars he is.
Yeah.
cleared it off and, you know, whatever, broke into the box, mm-hmm. and Lookman scores, and straight away everyone jumps on your guy. And during the whole thing, Lukaku's still chatting to him in the ear. I don't know what it was. It must have been words of encouragement. Or else I'd like to think it's like, you're never going to take my place, boy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
don't get comfy. For players and managers to be mic'd the whole way through the game.
I think American football, someone.
I think that would be an incredible evolution.
Didn't they
mic
an MLS player? They did one of the New England Revolution.
Yeah,
they mic'd
did,
one up.
Did, actually,
it was
yeah.
great.
It was superb because it was like the captain of the team and you just heard him sort of giving out orders.
But then
stuff.
Sometimes it was like, hey, man, congrats on the baby. Like, it was like, like nice things as well.
Yeah, it's incredible. I think that would be a really great evolution in how they present football on TV.
They lost 4-0 there. Badly.
So good.
And even when they were four down, mm-hmm. they were still cheating. Did you see Otamendi? Did you see that?
No, I don't think so.
Should have been off, shouldn't he?
Two guys, like, he tried to square up to the guy, and then he tried to draw, pulled an Ander Herrera, tried to draw a reaction, and when the guy went like that, and they barely brushed cheeks, and Otamendi grabbed his face and dropped, like, and I was like, oh, Jesus.
There was a lot of that from Man United as well.
Yeah, we'll get into Ander Herrera in a minute, because I think I was three separate WhatsApp groups before the game. I was shitting a load of stuff on Ander Herrera, because I think he's the worst mm-hmm. in the league at all this. And I was just delighted it happened to happen. Like, and we were on it, just it happened to happen. I went, yes, yes, it came off. I think you should be banned for it.
I hear you.
He pulled him. The foul was given, and he made sure
the Firmino jabby. Yeah, sorry, I didn't realize that was Herrera. Yeah,
yeah, and then he made sure he held on for another 2 seconds, and I was like, what the hell? He turned around. Firmino gets the yellow card because he shouldn't react. And
that's
right.
Bollocks. If someone came up to you on the street and started pulling the shirt off you and you pushed them, not a jury in the land would convict you.
Aye, but they might give you a yellow card. Like, watch yourself, sir. I know, like, he pushed them too much. Like, even if it was whatever, but he pushed them here. But Herrera drops then, rolls and holds his face. And I was like if a CFA went in and went, right, 2-game ban.
Yeah.
Every time, nobody would do it. Otamendi, mm-hmm. 2-game ban. Like, yeah. Nobody would start it. I can't. Like, and there's another one that's really annoying me that's worse this year is defenders just falling.
Yeah.
So when the ball comes thinging they're in a bit of trouble, they just wait for the forward and every single time they get a free kick. If somebody just went, no, it's not
back.
Yeah, it's not pushing the back ever. I'd just like play on.
Oh yeah, and lots of when a defender's jumping for a header for a high ball, backing into them so they go over you and it looks dreadful. Like that seems to have happened loads this season. Yeah, now with that said, all my football knowledge goes back approximately 18 months, if that. So that could be a trend. That could be something. That could be tale as old as time, for all I know.
I think the thing coming out of that City game is Guardiola getting found out a little because he's just trying to put players into his system rather than be like, okay, I need a system for these players. Conte tried it at the start of the season. It wasn't working. He's like, okay, I need to actually be a coach and not be peddling my one trick everywhere.
But sure, Conte's still playing three at the back, right? That was
Conte didn't start playing three at the
back.
Yeah, with Chelsea. He was like, okay, I'm going to try this. And it wasn't working. He's like, okay, Victor Moses, you're a left wing back now because why not?
Mm-hmm.
And
that's worked
to the moon.
Well, to be
fair. Exactly.
Guardiola's like a great coach, right?
But like put Zabaleta in midfield. He's not Lam.
That's right. That's type of stuff, right? So like he is a great coach, but I think it got like he did it very quickly and he did it with the best team in the world. He inherited it regardless. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter. You still have to coach, like, you know what I mean? He got that. Then they were like, oh, he inherited the next best team in the world.
Yeah.
And they were the best team in the world. Henk has won the last 6 trophies competitions possible. He made them a little bit worse. He wanted to change things up. He was putting Lam in midfield and everybody was like, what are you doing? He still won loads. He was grand. Wasn't as good as the team before.
Yeah.
Nobody really wants to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Then people are like, oh, sure, he inherited the 2 best teams. Now he's getting found out. I'm like, he inherited the best team in the premierships.
Mm.
There's 5th, 6th.
Yeah. Yeah, 5th now. Yeah.
They were the best team, player on player, and I still think they are.
Weird stuff like, I'm going to bench Aguero. You're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
He's the best player in the league.
Then he was like, I'll play Silva, De Bruyne, Nolito and like 4 attacking midfielders. I'm like, you need somebody to get them players the ball. they've just Yaya Touré, who's like 35 and cares about his birthday.
Got him on my fantasy team.
Yeah,
looking forward to it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's all over the place. Like, and he needs to cop on. There was a great compilation of Claudio Bravo's saves of the season. Did you see it?
No.
It was on Benchwarmers, I think.
No.
He just went Claudio Bravo's saves of the season, and then it just comes off, and it goes up, and it goes, "Thank you for watching," and it ends.
It's like Guardiola said like 2 weeks ago he's not a coach for teaching tackling. And you're like, that's grand to be saying when you're winning every week, but when you're losing 4-0, you're like, maybe someone should stick the boot in.
You're playing Burnley, lad.
Yeah.
It is fascinating when you think about it, the start of the season, you know, all the talk of like, oh, it's the World Cup for managers, whoever said that.
Yeah. Nah.
But, you know, you Jose Mourinho, Guardiola, Klopp, et cetera, et cetera. I would not have thought Conte to be the person running away with it.
Yeah.
And what's more, I fucking hate Chelsea. I have no time for Chelsea at all. But God damn it, if I don't love the stuff of, it was Acosta saying, oh, he'd only go for 30 million. It's like, oh, well, you're benched then. Yeah. Buy best player. Yeah. I fucking love that. That's the absolutely the way football should be.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah. So I have another one here, right? So that Costa stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm an Arsenal fan, and I was furious. I am full bent on selling Alexis Sanchez.
Really?
Like, I'm sickened with him now.
Why?
3 games in a row, he's completely, like, he's all this contract shit, right?
Right.
And then, you know, people do it all the time. I know that much, but.
Yeah,
he starts throwing tantrums. He threw a tantrum when we won against Palace because nobody played him one-on-one. It wasn't even a good run. Like, it wasn't like anything to freak out over. He freaked out at the end of the Bournemouth game. And then last night, they're against Swansea, they were 4-0 up and Danny Welbeck was coming back for his first Premiership game. They was 4-0 up and he was going to give him the last, it was the 79th minute. He was going to give him the last 11 minutes run out up front. Sanchez gets called and he just stands and won't move and stares at Wenger like, what are you doing? Sanchez already got his goal as well. It's not even one of those. Like, came off the pitch, blanked Wenger, and then put a coat over his head and stared at the ground. And then occasionally went like that. I sell him. I just get rid of him. Best player, get rid of him.
Toxic.
I'd buy 35 million. Get 35 million even for him, even though he's worth more. Get it and buy someone else.
Is this something that's somewhat universal with a lot of? You look at a Pogba, you look at Costa, certainly. Who was that other? There was another player who tore his bib off. Remember that character earlier on in the season?
Who was that? Not even sure.
No.
It's like this lad, and again, this is why my football knowledge is of the Premier League and now for the last 18 months, so apologies for not knowing. Yeah. What's the name of that guy who has all the sort of burn marks on his neck?
Tevez. Oh, yeah, no, that was a few years ago.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But this sort of a Tevez, what we could describe it as Tevez style behavior. Yeah. Right? Like, if you pay someone, say, however many millions you're paying them at such a young age, you're indirectly or indirectly fostering cuntish behavior.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's. I don't know.
I know people obviously don't like United,
mm-hmm.
but. That sort of behavior has never really existed at United.
Because Wayne Rooney?
No, but like the petulant coming off.
Okay, yeah.
Because Ferguson, if anyone did
Ferguson would have such gone. A
throat. Sanchez would be sold.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the way, I agree. Like, that's not a good attitude to have in the dressing room, or as you said, it sort of fosters this attitude.
Klopp seems to be the same way.
Cut it off at the head.
Yeah, Klopp. Sacco.
I would be amazed if Sturridge makes it through to the 2017-2018 season.
He won't start. It's August, September next year, he won't be. Or this year, he won't be at Liverpool.
Like, I'd say he'd be gone now soon enough. They've been throwing good money after bad for some time.
Yeah.
He'd go to some mid-table team, talk big about how he's going to get them places.
Somebody will take a gamble on him. Tottenham might take a gamble. Or Southampton, maybe.
Top team.
Like...
Yeah, they're not top two.
Yeah,
but this is the thing, the way Klopp also works, he's a shrewd little wheeler dealer. He's basically like a lad selling gates.
Yeah.
You know,
like a smiley Harry Redknapp.
He is, like, and I reckon they'll be like, oh, I'm not taking anything under 40 million for him, and then hold off until the last possible day. And then,
Sunderland 12 million. Okay.
Sturridge, you're going to Al Hilal, best of luck, like, you know what I mean?
Okay, go to Southampton on loan. They need a forward because Charlie Austin's not.
That's very true.
He's injured. Can't score.
Shane Long is the best player at winning your corners. That is Shane Long. He should be brought on to win corners because he's unbelievable at that.
What was going on with Payet? So there was
he's a dum dum.
Yeah,
a dum dum.
Yeah, Payet just freaked out. I was reading about it. See that guy that released. He works for West Ham. And he released like loads of like statements about it all.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So you know, you're reading about it. Payet actually went. He went and. Apparently was like asking for like raises every like second week for really? Stuff. Yeah, like apparently Brexit happened and he wanted to like to add like another quarter of his salary onto it.
Really?
Again. And Kouyaté apparently sat him down and said, "Just stop what you're doing."
Fair play.
Fair play, Kouyaté.
I love him from that way. You hear all these stories, and every one of them was like, apparently Kouyaté was like, just sit down and shut up.
You know what he should do? Just keep playing and be like, here, I want to leave. If any bids come in, sound.
Yeah.
Marseille, no, I want to leave. If nothing comes in, I leave in the summer. We all cool? Grant. Because people are like, oh, because Bilic, when he was with West Ham, came out in the January before he left, being like, I want to leave. Want to leave the club. Just want to put that out there.
The club is Slaven, is it?
Yeah, current West Ham manager. Yeah. When he played with them under Harry Redknapp.
I didn't know that.
Came out and said, and people are like, oh, look, he said the fucking same thing. What happened was, he said he wanted to leave the club, and then he stuck with them till the summer, stopped them from being relegated, and then went to Everton. And that was fine. He still, I want to leave, but I'm going to put in a shift until I go.
But there's no point in what Piatt's doing now, taking yourself out of the shop window, so to speak. Like, you're not going to sell yourself.
Petulant and hard to work with.
Exactly, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It'll only be Marseille that'll take him.
That's it. Yeah.
Because they know what he's like.
Did he used to play there? All right.
Yeah, he was a mid-table French player.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, this guy's actually fulfilled. He was a bit of a Walcott years ago. It was like, this lad's going to be class, and then never really hit his potential. Yeah. Like,
got transferred a few places.
Yeah, was with Nantes and then was signed by Marseille.
With Nantes?
Like, it was like, this guy's going to be class.
Hold on, there's a team called Nantes.
Yeah.
Very Nantes, good.
The new team.
Yeah. Nantes FC.
Bunch of Nantes.
Lads, I think of him a fancy name for next year.
But, yeah, and then came West Ham and was like, shit, this lad's, he's doing it. He's finally reaching his potential. He's back in the French team. And now you're like, oh, he's just...
Now he's just running out of again.
Yeah.
At his age as well, he's going to just throw in the towel in.
Yeah.
For me. Yeah.
Should have kept the head down, maybe gone to an Arsenal or Chelsea in the summer.
Yeah. He probably could have.
Yep.
People would have, like, paid.
Premier League won't want to touch him now because they're like, now you're...
Yeah, fuck that.
In our fantasy football league, right, speaking of old players... coming good or not. We do the draft one, so it's one in, one out. There's only one of each player. So the problem with that is there's a real dearth of play, like real lack of quality. Because once you've got your player in, you know, you don't let go of your big names or whatever. So if you're looking for a striker, you're scratching around the Okakas in Watford. And, you know what I mean? Sorry, I picked up Crouch last week and Arnautovic. I picked up the two of them. Oh, I'm delighted.
So we mentioned
was getting
Crouch got 99.
Yeah, a few weeks ago, like Crouch got his goal. I was like, shit, Crouch's first goal in ages. Mm-hmm. And it was his 98th Premier League goal. And then immediately Stoke gave him another year contract extension. We're like, he's going to get the 100. He's going to.
He will.
He got, yeah. Jesus, Magnon had a nightmare of a game.
Who?
Vito Magnone.
Oh, yeah.
He was one of yours, wasn't he?
He was.
He just looks like we so sad. The commentator was like, he looks like he's about to cry. And he was like, shit, he does. He looks like he's on the verge of crying of the time.
You know what? After all those lads and we saw that in Fabianski, we actually hung on to Davian Martinez. He's still Arsenal's third choice goalkeeper. He's the worst goalkeeper I've ever seen in the Premiership. Like, there was a shot good top corner once and everybody thought it was going to be an unbelievable save because he dived with his left hand over... this way,
right?
And I went, oh, and then it just hit his hand and fell dead into the net. Just went, and I went, what?
So
was
if he'd gone with his right hand, he'd
had
better.
And even at that, they kept falling in the net. Every shot, he'd save shots, but they would just come down and go in the net. And he'd be like, oh, you know, like a bad one. You do it like five aside. And I'm like,
the legs,
how is he playing for Arsenal in any level? You know,
I like when you see a player. Like overdue or something like that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Do you know, what's his name? Chelsea, I think he must be a centre back. What's his face? Roared crying on the match of the day. Well, tears in his eyes because he basically made a mistake that led to a goal.
Who was that?
What is his name? No, it was a couple of weeks ago. It was a good few weeks ago now.
Oh, I don't know.
But again, it's one of those. Oh, Cahill. Cahill.
Oh, I got to go.
And, you know, it's one of those ones where I can't stand Chelsea. But you see someone who has that sort of passion that they're willing to break into almost tears because they made a mistake that resulted in a draw or dropped 2 points for their team. Like, that is, if there is a polar inverse of being a Piatt,
yeah,
being a Tevez, that's what it is, you know.
Gary Cahill, I'm not a fan of, but like he seems like a grand fella. Like,
I hear you. I wouldn't be a fan either, but just seeing someone care, like,
he can't turn. That's his thing, you know. If you put the ball past him, he's like, oh. You know, if the ball has to be facing him at all times, he's great. He's good at headers as well. But did you see? Do you know what I'm delighted with? Emmanuel Eboué is apparently coming back to the Premiership.
To who?
On a free transfer. Sunderland or something.
You would have missed peak Eboué.
This is the first time I've heard the name
Eboué. He's a right back?
He was a right back.
Arsenal right back.
Right.
Psycho.
So funny.
If anyone was made to play in Turkey, this lad.
He was like...
Love a Turkish player. You know, passion.
You've done a Turkish Ultimate Team.
Turkish Ultimate Team on FIFA was my favourite Ultimate Team. Oh, Touré.
He was great.
There's all the lads. There's Yilmaz. Yeah. Up front. The other lad. What's his name?
Arda Turan, maybe?
Wasn't Candreva, was it? Is he Italian?
No,
Candreva
was
it. He's
the
Italian
team. Because we moved from... We ripped the copper out of the walls in the Turkish stadium.
Just to get off topic. What John and our other housemate, Killian, do... Well, one of our other housemates, what they do is they will set up an Ultimate Team, do real well with it. And once they're sort of like done with it, put everyone up for sale, sort of a new team on another account at a highly inflated rate and buy all.
So what we'll do is we'll specifically put like
very specific numbers
so that we can be like, that's that person's one. So it's basically a way of transferring funds.
It's laundering.
So we'll
it's
do
laundering.
Laundering in FIFA.
And we'll go Airtricity League players and then put them up for like, oh, this lad is 20 grand for Cork City's centre back. You know what I mean? And then you know that there's only one person putting up. Expecting 20 grand for the Cork City centre back.
I can't believe you've money laundered. You found out how to kind of money launder. In FIFA,
I mean, if any game is titled to be corrupted,
that's very true. But yeah, we call it ripping the copper out the walls.
Ripping the copper out the walls, brilliant.
So when I knew Eboué had come back to the Premier League,
is he gone
last March?
Yeah,
because he signed for Sunderland.
He was there like 3 weeks,
so he won't be in the Premier League.
And then he got
League
a
one-year
ban from all footballing-relating activity because he didn't pay his agent.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
So then Sunderland released him 3 weeks later.
Eboué, what are you doing?
So,
he was in line, I saw to come back to someone.
That is the last entry, April 2016, on his Wikipedia.
Thus ends the story of Eboué.
My favourite story about Eboué is where he got subbed on to play right midfield. Sometimes they put him up there, right? And Thierry Henry was on, and Thierry Henry had scored, and it was 2-1 to Wigan.
Mm-hmm.
Eboué runs on, bolts into the box and gets a penalty, right? It was a penalty. He grabs the ball and puts down the ball, the penalty, and tells Thierry Henry to move away. And everyone, no, no. He buries the penalty and he slides into the corners and like, I've got 2-2, right? He runs out. It's just like pure confidence for a 10-minute cameo. He grabs the ball, he nutmegs the lad and blasts it in the bottom corner and gets a second, 3-2. He turned it off into the corner. I went, what was that? That is like someone who's so... delusion at work that
what
time.
You want from your right back.
When you're playing FIFA online with somebody and then they pause the game and then when they unpause it, they're unbelievable. You fucking handed the controller over. You have given that controller to someone else in the room. Like that is what that was.
And the best thing he ever did was the World Cup 2006. Ivory Coast were playing South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
So South Korean manager Carl is his captain.
The old
over.
Firm.
He's got a piece of paper. You know, follows. You know, he brings the guy over for tactics.
Oh, he's got a storage piece of paper.
Eboué follows.
Storage piece of paper.
Eboué follows him. So the manager is like chatting in Korean to the guy, and Eboué stands beside him, going, pretending he understands it all, and then he goes, "Yep, no problem," and runs off with the other guy, pretends he knows Korean. I was like, this guy is just.
He's a psychopath, John.
He's not even. He's a psycho.
The Mario Balotelli of our time.
Oh, like.
He could be back.
Yeah. A couple of red cards now in his time as well. Oh,
God almighty.
Very funny. Yeah, we went off to Galatasaray for a while. Yeah,
that's where you belong.
So we get into these games this week.
Yeah, we better. Yeah.
Man City Spurs game of the week. Quick thoughts.
Who do you think will win that?
I'd say Spurs will have
Spurs are away. City lost the last game 4-0, won the one previous 5-0. So
I would say there'll be that bounce. they'll have to come back and come back strongly. But at the same time, I think Spurs have a bit of momentum to them.
Yeah.
I like the way they're playing a lot. I'd say Spurs will nick it.
Yeah. I hate Spurs, so I'm going to go with Man City.
That's fair enough.
What I hope is Man City win, to be honest. No, what I hope is a draw for Arsenal.
Well, I would hope Man City would win as well, purely from a Liverpool perspective. But
yeah.
2-0 Spurs.
Okay.
I think that
City couldn't score against what isn't a great defensive team in Everton.
I think 2-0 Spurs actually makes a lot of sense.
Aguero can't.
Also, Eriksen's on a fierce run of form at the moment as well.
I know. Dele Alli, my second.
Dele Alli's great.
Your second least player,
Under Herrera. And Ashley Young.
James McCarthy. What a midfield.
James McCarthy.
These your hated 11, is that what this is?
Oh, my God. I have a hated 11 if you want to hear it.
I would love to hear it. I don't know if I'm not the person who sets the format for this, so.
Yeah.
Who's your goalie?
Oh, I know. Pantamillion.
Yeah, all right.
He's also like, he dives, like pretends people hit him when he goes up for corners. Rocket, and he's 7 foot
Jens Lehmann style.
He's 7 foot one, yeah. But Jens Lehmann had a bit of crack about it. Jens Lehmann
would take some
lost the guy. Do you see that in the German league when he moved back? Mm-hmm. The striker lost his shoe, you know, in a tackle in the corner, and Lehmann lifted the ball and grabbed the guy's shoe and threw it on top of the net. And hit the goal kick. And the guy was running up trying to get his shoe in the top of the net.
What a dicker.
That was amazing. That was Jens Lehmann in his prime.
Fuck, keepers are psychos.
Yeah, yeah. Mad. You would need to be, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Joe Hart would have been there, but he's gone now.
Joe Hart was my second pick in the fantasy draft, and then off to Italy went.
Yeah, off to Torino.
It was one of a sequence of incredible runs of bad luck the old Kansas City shove is about.
Yeah, so I reckon what, Tottenham then?
Yeah, I'm going to go Spurs.
Okay, I think it'll be a draw or maybe... No, I can't see Man City win that. Yeah, draw. I'll go for draw. If City play well, that is.
Other games we have United... Liverpool, Swansea.
Yeah, Liverpool should walk that.
Yeah.
Even with the team, Swansea can't... Swansea played Arsenal, and even when they stuck it to Arsenal, it just collapsed into two own goals.
I wouldn't be... I can see that being 1-0 to Liverpool and no more.
Huh?
Because don't get me wrong, I'd love it to be better, but they're doing this weird thing now where Liverpool, because people have figured out how to the rub with Liverpool. You know, sit back, you play counter attacking football, you've got Liverpool against the ropes. You just get loads and loads of men behind the ball, which is what it's what Burnley did at the start of the year, and it's what Manchester United did in the first game of the season with them. So as a result now, Liverpool have just been resulting to long balls like you wouldn't believe. And it's nothing. We've no setup for that. So I would say if we get an El Jammy goal, that'll be it. I wouldn't even be surprised if Swansea walked it.
West Brom Sunderland, what do you think?
Oh, God. West Brom just...
I've been betting this game. It's the only reason I bring it up.
As Sunderland's due the whole explosive, I'll save myself soon.
Yeah.
Another few games, I think. West Brom.
David Moyes is he just has the body language of a man who has been told every day for the past 2 years that his family have died in a car crash. And every day it's a new memory, but it's still somewhere there in his head. Like, he just looks so sad.
Disheveled.
Interesting fact about David Moyes. If he touches his fingernail against a baby, the baby's eyes turn into the same blue as his. I'd say that has nil all written all over it, to be honest.
Right.
You'd never put one past Defoe, but at the same time.
Stoke Man U?
Stoke are at home.
Yep.
Narrow Manchester United. Narrow.
Right.
Maybe by one.
Okay.
Leave it at late.
Yeah, and I think they had a big win over last weekend, so I think they probably won't be fighting.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'd say Man United for that.
Then Sunday we've got Arsenal Burnley.
That's a tough one because Burnley don't score, they don't concede.
Yeah.
They're like Middlesbrough, so you're just sitting there going like, Arsenal should win it 1-2.
Depending on what mood Sanchez is in.
1-2-0, yeah.
Giroud's in fine form though.
He injured himself though, he went off injured. As soon as he hit the goal,
he did. Chelsea Hull then is the last game on Sunday.
God, well, I'm still waiting. I know they beat Leicester and convincingly, we forgot to mention that, but without Diego Costa, I think they might get caught out sooner or later. Because they're not playing a natural striker anymore.
Hull have galvanized behind Marco Silva.
They'll beat Hull. I think they'll still beat.
Just Yeah, that'll be.
I would love to see.
I
Hull.
Also have a bet.
I think I'm gonna go Hull. Take
you going
it.
Hull?
I think Hull's going to take
1-0 in the bridge.
Yeah,
Abel Hernandez. Hat-trick.
Yeah, Diamande slotting them in.
And Southampton Leicester is the early kickoff on the Sunday. That could be a good game.
Yeah.
Who was it? Sorry.
Southampton Leicester.
Ah, yeah.
Southampton have no real focal point to their attack.
I'm going to say nil all.
Okay, here's always...
Nil all. It has nil all written.
This is always controversial, right?
Go for it.
And everyone hates me for it. But I hate Leicester. And I hated them last year.
Yeah, no, I hate Jamie Vardy.
There was a
such
the
fashion.
The fairy tale shouldn't have been a fairy tale. The last fucking
you've
six...
You've got a little higher heart of flint.
Little six... Last six games, there were so many things that went their way that it was like proper... Mm-hmm. Man United, Old Trafford stuff. They had like, David's like, what are you talking about? Why'd you bring that up? No, but like in the corner of the box, like running away, and he go, oh, Okazaki's down. It's a penalty. Oh my God, Leicester's going to. Nobody went. That wasn't the penalty. Everyone went, oh, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, hold on. I think they deserve to have their dreams crushed in the last week.
Now, I think they have had their dreams crushed in the last 6 months.
Yeah.
Me and Ryan have had this ongoing conversation over who the king of the rats is. And
right.
Yeah, he thinks it's Wilshere.
I was going Wilshere. I'm going to change my nomination, King of the Rats. It's Jamie Vardy.
Yeah.
Because
Leicester's
first season back in Premier League, Leicester bet United, and Jamie Vardy took a dive for a penalty that changed that game and was just a rat for the whole game.
Yeah, he does.
Pure rat.
I'd say Herrera, also, King of the Rats.
Yeah, and Herrera's King of the Rats.
Daily Blind. Jeez, just he's what? Got that. He's got a real King of the Rats look about him.
You're just starting now talking about physical look.
I am, yeah. Dirk, I'm just saying he looks like a school shooter. Like, that's all I'm saying.
So, bets this week. Did Andrew send in any?
No. So, he's...
What was that? Did he not send it?
Oh, did he? Oh, he did, sorry. I was all delighted. I was going to go balls deep for Swansea win. Usually,
if you don't have a bet in,
they
by the
make
time
them
we
for
broadcast,
you. That's beautiful. Love it. Love the format.
So Everton were
okay.
Andrew had money on Everton to beat Liverpool the last time he missed an episode.
He's got a treble here. So right. He's got Marko Arnautovic to score any time against Man United.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah, that would be beautiful.
Got him on my team.
Big Romelu Lukaku to score against Crystal Palace.
Right. Very fair. Yeah.
And Tottenham to win, but half-time and full-time. They have to be up at half-time and win full-time.
I would say if there's going to be a thing that gets in the way of that, it'll be Arnautovic, because he is... I was going to say he's hot and cold, but he's largely cold.
Yeah. Very, very... I was like, I don't think it's going to come in, but it's the odds are well worth it.
So really? What are the odds?
47 to 1, 10 euro. He'll win 480 euro. If Tottenham half-time, full-time... Yeah, it's an...
Who are Stoke playing again?
United.
Man United.
No, they've not a hope. Arnautovic isn't getting one in. A hope.
He's the booster there. He's nearly 3-1.
Mourinho likes him because he used to play for Mourinho at Inter. So
why would that?
I think he'd be like, I'm going to show Jose I'm still a class. Right. But again, that was my logic for Chadli scoring last week was
4-0.
Yeah,
no shots on target.
My bets are I played it safe this week because last week was 164-1 and it didn't come out weirdly. So, what I'm going for is Arsenal minus one at 8-15.
Arsenal minus one.
Liverpool minus two. And West Brom minus two. Accumulator.
Hold on. West Brom minus two.
Yeah.
Arsenal minus one.
And Liverpool minus two.
Okay.
So, is that
25-1?
All right.
Does that mean Liverpool lose by two goals?
No.
If they win by three?
Oh, what? How the fuck does this work?
So if you write Liverpool minus two, it means
that they're starting the game from
negative. Imagine you start the game as minus two and the other team are nil.
Oh, okay.
So minus two would win by three clear goals, basically.
Oh, right, okay. All right.
Yeah, so he's went and done another psycho one, David. With West Brom, they got...
Minus two.
Yeah, okay.
Against Sunderland.
Fair enough, could be 3-0 or something, yeah. They're at home as well.
Yeah.
And then Liverpool minus two.
Against Swansea
I think
at
that
home.
Could happen if they had their full team.
And Arsenal minus one.
I think Arsenal minus one is a tough one. I think
that's out. Why I didn't go minus two with them.
Yeah.
So I went minus one.
1-0, 2-0. Ah, okay. 25-1.
Can I put a 2 euro on that?
You're meant to put 10 euro.
Yeah,
we pay for your 10.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I didn't notice.
Yeah, Stanley.
10 euro on Hull to win. Let's go. Let's go. Every penny of it. Come on, so, like, Diamande.
You've 10 euro on Hull just to win.
Hull to win. Straight off.
Just Hull to win.
Who are they playing?
Chelsea.
In Stamford Bridge.
Yeah.
Let's go, Diamande.
What are the odds, lads?
I'll look it up and we'll put that on.
We'll put that up.
That's ridiculous. You have pissed away 10 euro. Well, I'm excited.
We're going to be walking back to the car. Homeless lad's going to look for money. You're like, haven't got any. It's all on Hull.
At least it's yours. Just at least you know, there is just a win. You know, Hull to beat Chelsea.
Just none of this shit.
Jim's like, oh, well, Hull's a nice place to go on holidays.
You're just like, I want Diamande.
See, this is it. I always just, whenever, because my girlfriend Donna took up sort of the Paddy Power rap and she put in a tenner at the start of the Euros.
Yeah.
Came away with like 80 quid or something like that. She did well out of it. But she always goes for those mad sort of long shot things. I'm just, France to win, lads. Just keep it down the middle. Take your pennies and build on it. Like.
Build it like that. That's the best way usually to win.
But yeah, no, I think look, someone needs to stop Chelsea. It needs to happen at some point. And I think the plucky boys, the plucky Tigers are the lads to do it. I think Marco Silva has been successful everywhere he's been. And why not start at Stamford Bridge?
Destroy Chelsea.
He's going to stick it up him.
Do you know what the odds are in Hull at all? I can't get this loaded. We have no
internet. There's no internet
anyway. I'd say just no one's taking that bet.
It's got to be 10 to 1 anyway.
Yeah.
It is 16 to 1.
Let's go.
Rob is blasted it. 170 back if that comes in.
Hull to win, lads. Hull to win.
170 to John if he gets that in. Right, great. I've went with a fourfold.
Right.
Like, you know.
Can you bet on lads to draw?
Nearly everything.
Anything.
Sorry, I'm not a gambler. I do enjoy the football, but I'm not a gambler. And I was raised Quaker, you know. It's no gambling in Quakerism.
Yeah.
It's one of the big things.
Really?
Don't fight lads and don't gamble. They're really the two tenets.
So if you're betting on boxing, you're just...
You're fucked. But yeah, no, I would say also a good bet might be Leicester and Southampton to draw nil nil.
That's such a draw. That's all a nil nil one.
Yeah,
maybe.
Oh. But there's no glory.
I see Rob has picked up his
mic.
That's
23 to 100.
23 to 100
for a draw in that
game. 23 to 100.
Yeah.
What? Well, there's fucking no crack in that.
That's a mistake. That's 23
that's
to
from
10.
Paddy Power.
That's 23.
It's got to be 23 to 10 because that is.
They've made a mistake
ludicrous.
There. That's insane.
You bet 100 to get 23 back.
that's very bad, right?
It's usually around 23.
Yeah, so if
10,
you
right?
bet a euro, you get 2.3 cents.
Okay,
back.
No, yeah, lads. Yeah. Lash it all on Hull. Let's fucking go.
I've got my bet's a fourfold commutator, and all of them are both teams to score.
Right.
So both teams to score in the City Tottenham.
Mm-hmm.
Both to score in the Stoke Man United game. Both to score in the West Ham Middlesbrough. And Bournemouth Watford
coming in at
11 to 1, basically just a little short of 11 to 1.
All right, seems a lot easier to just say Hull to win.
It is. It is. It genuinely is. That tends to be the ones when it's less troubles. Usually we have like I just stopped in the anytime goal scorers because they used to be my big one, and
right.
This year it's just gone. It's just gone terrible. Do you want to hear a betting thing that's non-football that destroyed me there last night?
We can wrap up on this.
I had Atlanta Falcons were playing Seattle.
Yeah.
I had two bets on. One was Devonta Freeman, who's a running back. He just runs the ball over the line to get two touchdowns. He already had one, and I needed 7 touchdowns in the game. So it was 6 touchdowns in the game, and there was 2 minutes left. And they were at the touchdown line. You know, all they had to do is run it over. And if it was running over, it was my guy. So I was going to win both bets. There's 2 minutes left. But in American football, if you just like minutes left, you just keep taking knees and run the time down for 2 minutes so that you don't have to run. And they were enough ahead that even if they lost it. So I just had to sit there going, oh, great, lads. They'll just run it over the line now. And I just seen him taking a step back and putting a knee down. And I was like, no, don't do this. Don't do this. It's like watching football and you need a goal.
And they run it to the corner flag.
And you have a penalty.
They kick it out for a throw.
And they'd pass it to Drogba and runs the corner flag. That's what it was. And like falling over, I was just sitting like, and everybody on the table just looked at me like, oh no, Ryan.
Kept taking a knee.
Just took a knee for 2 minutes.
ran the clock down. It's like incredible time wasting, and the other team can't do anything. And I just sat there going like, they're like a yard away, and if it had to be anybody, it's my older guy. And I was sitting there going like, that is horrific. And that was it. That's my thing.
Well, I hope that luck continues.
Heartbroken for you, Ryan.
So that has been the Odds On Pod. You can find us all on various Twitter. You can get Odds On Pod at Odds On Pod.
Yep.
That's it. I'm at Davey Riley. Our guest today, John Hosey Byrne, is on Twitter at
Ale Le Tigres.
At Ale Le Tigres. And Ryan Cullen is at
Milo Yiannopoulos.
At Milo.
He's actually been he's off Twitter, thankfully, the fucking cunt.
So, and
then you're still on it, Ryan.
So you can
I'm at the unreal Donald Trump.
You can get all the other great podcasts at the at Sentinel Audio and sentinelaudio.com. Bye.